Welcome to show number 97 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Yo, what is going on, everybody? How's it going? Hopefully you're all doing good out there. This is literally the third time I've recorded this podcast, so I'm actually talking to myself for the third time, and I'm trying not to repeat things, but for you, it's all fresh. But in my mind, I've gone through this. This is the third time, various different errors, and I've actually changed the subject a couple different times, so I actually don't even know. I had to throw some things out the door. I had a segment planned kind of on buy, sell, or hold. I had like Dwight Howard and some other players in there. That status has kind of changed recently, so we'll still touch on some of them recently, but I also wanted to talk about Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, and they've seemed to both just continue to keep playing well, better and better. Out here on the West Coast, I hear a lot about Mike Trout and how well he's doing. A lot of people are saying he's like the best player in the American League, and I was like, dang, I didn't know this guy was that good. Obviously I listen to a lot of National League games watching the Giants, so I don't get to see Mike Trout, and I didn't get to see Bryce Harper, but I heard a lot about him on the radio and saw some highlights and stuff on ESPN. But man, it's really interesting. It's great to have some new, fresh blood moving up through the ranks of baseball. It seems like we get that like recycle all the time. But like we had like Starlin Castro and Jason Hayward a couple years ago, and but those guys didn't seem like they have like the sticking power that that Bryce Harper and Mike Trout seem to have. These guys both seem to have the ability to draw fans into the game. People like how hard they play, and they like that they do. It's good that they both have pop in their bat, but that's not what they often get attention for. It's like running bases and stealing bases, and Bryce Harper, I think, has stolen home. So it's good that baseball's kind of evolved from that juice-it-up steroid game where we kind of needed home runs to stay interested and stuff like that, and now we have these players that are hitting base hits and hitting line drives, and those are what are interesting fans. So and definitely interesting maybe the critics and some of the media in baseball. So I noticed a lot of people talking about Mike Trout and how well he's been playing. So I thought that was interesting. I definitely wanted to touch on that. Some other things that I wanted to talk about. Gold Standard Basketball just came out, so I thought that was kind of an interesting set. That was one of my favorite sets from last year. I thought last year it actually made its debut, I think, in basketball last year. And so that was the first time, and I think Panini's done a football version. Who knows? Maybe they'll do, they're doing like baseball products, so maybe they'll do of Gold Standard Baseball, who knows. But and I think they'll probably have Gold Standard again for football this year. But hey, you never know. Maybe not. I know that some people weren't as big a fan of it. One, it's like $200 a box. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about Gold Standard Basketball right now. It's $200 a box. I don't really know if that's like a super great deal, because I was looking through the checklist, and why you get those, you get one redemption card per box. I think it's an autographed one. You get one per box. There's 35 of them, and they're going to have the random draft. You might know this. They're having a random draft on Panini's website in October, I believe. I'm not exactly sure if that's 100% the date, but somewhere in the fall, they're going to have a live draft. And so you're going to be able to know who you're redeeming the cards for. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe you end up getting Kyrie Irving or some of the other, like Marshawn Brooks was pretty nice rookie last year. There was a couple other guys that played well. And I think going into this next season, since it was a shortened off season and some of these guys, they got their feet wet. I think Kyrie Irving will be, I've heard good things about him. And I think there'll be a lot of other guys that step it up into year two, and there's those guys that were even the year before that and I'll actually talk about that here in a little bit. But we're gonna have some user questions. It's a good thing I wrote that down. 1, 2, 3, about 5, 6 questions that I have randomly from different emails in the last month or two that people either ask me via email or ask me to talk on the show, and so we'll kind of kill two birds with one stone. So we'll talk about that in a second. But back to Gold Standard Basketball for this year, I think you should stick with, unless you're doing like box breaks and stuff like that where you're getting kind of a value buying a team and stuff. I think there's a decent mix of team in here. Obviously the Lakers and Maybe even like Boston has some nice hits in here. There's some rare hits in here, but definitely the Lakers are often sometimes a good choice. But there's a nice little David Robinson card here. But I think Gold Standard is a really nice set, but it just seems like for the box, $200, man, and you don't know what rookie you get, and there's no chance. You'll definitely get one of those rookie redemptions, but it could be for, since there's 35 of them, man, the odds of getting somebody good might not be that great. So I don't know. I would actually rather just buy like the single card you were looking for. $200. You could actually probably, you know, buy the redemption auto, which is unknown right now. So you could gamble there, buy that. I think I saw some of them going for like $30 or $40. I thought I saw that was like the price people were paying for them, at least the past and present versions. So maybe it's, we'll call it $40. You got to pay for that. That leaves you with $160 left. You might even be able to get like a Kobe autograph or like a Blake Griffin autograph. Now that Blake injured his knee, you might be able to get a Blake Griffin autograph. You might be able to get a, maybe not Kevin Durant, but since he's just off his little playoff, but you'll definitely get a really good card. Maybe even Larry Bird. His autographs are pretty rare out of here, but you might be able to get Larry Bird or one of the best, like Kareem, or I see Dominique Wilkins in here. So I think instead of buying the box, let someone else take that risk. And I think the better gamble on here, unless you're just down to gamble in $200, if $200 is nothing for you and you're doing it for the gamble, then don't listen to me. But if you're trying to save a little bit of money and be more conscious about how you're spending your money, I would think about just buying one of the straight redemptions. Maybe not even right now. They're going to be around. Those cards are going to be float. Since you get one per box, they're going to be floating around and people often sell those. So I would buy maybe one of those maybe in a week or two, or whenever you feel comfortable buying one of those, and then buy one of the big autographs, buy a Kobe, buy one of the big autographs out of the set, buy from your favorite player. You know, if you're a Knicks fan, you might get Carmelo or something, or Amare is in here. So that might be a better strategy if you're trying to save a little bit of money. But I think at 200, that's a little rich. If you can find these in the $120 range, or maybe even less than that, it might be a fun break, much more fun break. But I think for $200, you're going to open it up and you're going to be like, dang, I hope that's Kyrie Irving autograph redemption and not Omar Asterisk or whatever. So we'll see what happens, but good luck. If you open boxes or you're doing box breaks, good luck. And if you're trying to win, it's tough to win cards. Say, oh, go win a card on eBay. It's tough to do that. I've tried to win cards for the last 3 months. I've bid 5 million times and I've won like two things. So it's incredibly hard. If you're sticking to a budget, if you're sticking to a plan and you don't want to overpay, then you know, it is kind of tough to win things. Only one person wins, and lots of people bid. So that's why eBay is kind of fun. So I wanted to talk about Gold Standard. There was something else I wanted to talk about. I don't really remember, but we'll take a break right here, and we'll come back right after this. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And we are back. Time to, actually, I got a new microphone. I wanted to say that like right in the beginning. It's like the reason why we haven't had that many podcasts the last month or two is I got a new computer. And it didn't work with my microphone, and I tried all these other microphones. I borrowed one, and I've been trying all these different things. So finally, I just broke down, and I ended up buying one. So this one actually is pretty nice. It's actually pretty small, but it works pretty good. So I'm actually really happy with the purchase. So I'm pumped up about that. And so it should lead to, you know, I figured in our fourth year, we're in our fourth year at the Sports Card Show podcast, and I've been going off the same microphone that I'd gotten at a, like a thrift store. It's like an old Radio Shack, like headset microphone. And it's made it this far, and it still works. It's just for some reason it didn't work. My plugs on my new computer, it's not a new computer, but maybe that's why I should just buy a new computer, because I probably would I still be rocking the old mic. But for some reason, it didn't work, so I had to get a USB mic. So that's what we're rocking with now. And now what you have to look forward to in this segment is I have some questions from emailers and collectors, and most of them, all of them actually, I think, via email. And if I check my forum, I meant to do that right before I got on here, but there's probably a few more on there. But we'll go with what I have in front of me here. This might be enough to take us through this segment. But first thing I wanted to talk about was, let's see, what's the first question? What are some of the best-selling methods? Okay, that's the first question. So here we go. What are some of the best-selling methods? So it was actually a long email, and I was trying to remember it here. And basically what they wanted to know was it was basically a young collector, not a young collector, but right out of high school. And he wanted to know, he wanted to start his, like, his own business, or it was kind of his, like, his first time starting his own business. So this could be anybody. This could be if you're, you could be older, much older than out of high school, and it'd be your first business. So basically his question was, you know, first person, you know, first time, you know, been in the business collecting cards and stuff like that, but it never really sold professionally. And he said he sold some cards on eBay and obviously bought quite a bit of stuff on eBay, but kind of wanted to sell more and maybe get involved in buying and selling more. He wanted to know what were the best methods to get involved in that. And my advice is to always keep to start off really slow and don't get in over, even if you have a lot of money, if you have some free cash or whatever, don't get in over your head, or don't try to go too big too fast, because it just, you're going to set yourself up for failure. So you want to start slow, and you always want to track your stats. You always want to track what you're doing, track all your sales, even if it's just pennies. Even if you're only making 10 sales, 15 sales, 20 sales a month, you know, barely one a day, or not even that, one every 2 days, or even if it's one a week, keep track of exactly how much you paid for it, exactly how much you paid for the bubble mailer and the tape, and factor in everything, and make sure you have a very clear picture of your expenses. And don't be scared if you look at the end of the month, or look at the end of 2 months, 3 months, and you actually lost a little bit of money. Hopefully you're right around that break-even point. If you've lost quite a bit of money, more than 10, 15, 20%, then you're not making the right decisions, probably selling. You're probably not selling right. You're not, something else is wrong. But you really should, if you're just buying and selling, cards, or even sometimes with boxes, if you're doing the right research, you should come close to breaking even. But you need to track your stats. And the reason why you need to do that is you need to understand your costs. You need to understand, hey, when I sell something for $12 on eBay, this is how much it costs on eBay, this is how much it costs on PayPal. When you sell something for $500, this is how much it costs on PayPal, and this is how much it costs on eBay, and this is how much it costs for insurance and different weights of items. You'll just become an, especially if you haven't ever shipped a lot of things out through the postal service, you'll work on your packaging and getting your packaging cheap, and but still fulfilling the customer's needs and getting their cards or boxes or whatever you're trying to. You don't have to this doesn't necessarily have to be a tutorial for cards as well. You can be selling, and you can be selling, you know, sunflower seeds or granola bars or whatever it is. Just make sure that you keep track of your stats and you keep track of everything you buy and sell, and I think that will really help you out. And The other thing is to keep in mind is low dollar items is sometimes a good starting point. A lot of times people, and this goes back to my thing that you don't often want to go too big too fast, is because there's two reasons. It's because oftentimes if you don't have any experience in business, even if you have a $1 million loan or an unlimited amount of credit behind you in terms of capital to buy products and set up websites or even storefronts or whatever, if you don't know how to manage that business and manage the distribution and the supply chain and getting the you know, having your store stocked and handling disputes that come up with customers, if you don't know how to handle all that beforehand, chances are you're going to make a lot of unhappy customers. Even if you have the items and you're having it at a good price, if you're making a lot of customers unhappy, the word will get out and your business will end up probably slumping over time. So that's why it's good to just kind of take it slow, build it up. If you do have an unlimited amount of capital or a decent amount of money behind you that could fund your business, that's great. I still think you should take it slow and invest in, systems and keeping track of everything and making sure you're doing everything to make sure you're maximizing your time, maximizing your profits, and selling things well. And back to my point here is selling low dollar things like little single cards, dollar single cards, or supplies, or even like $5 like little sets and things like that that you put together. That might be a better route than going right into the $100 or $200 boxes of cards, because that's a much different purchase. Collectors that spend anybody of $200 is a lot of money to almost everybody in the world. So, you know, that kind of purchase, you usually want to trust the other person on the other end. You want to have maybe done business with them in the past or have had a friend that's done business with them. And so if you're brand new, you don't have that. You don't have anybody saying, hey, go buy your box. Instead of buying it, you could have the exact same price as DA Card World and Blowout. You could have a lower price. It could be 4% lower or 5% lower. But if you don't have that track record of delivering for people, your volumes just aren't going to be there to really make a lot of money. So I think actually that low dollar item is where you could break in. And I remember when I was first starting out on eBay, when eBay was still a young company and I was still trying to, and a lot of people were still trying to figure out, hey, what sells, what makes money on eBay? Oftentimes it's like the things you create. I remember making Kobe Bryant t-shirts. I don't recommend this because I ended up getting booted off, but it was a great money maker for a while. Kobe Bryant was in some legal problems several years ago, or not necessarily. He had a lot of problems going on a couple years ago. He was still playing good on the court. But one of the things a lot of people were saying, that was before Twitter and all this stuff, but was free Kobe. You know, Kobe was like kind of in a tray and in trouble. And so people were free Kobe. So I made these shirts. He had like a mugshot. So I made these shirts and I printed up. And we were ironing, my brother and I were ironing them on. We would just go to like Walmart and find the cheapest bag of t-shirts and iron on there. And we'd put them on eBay and we'd sell them for $20 because you could get an iron on and a t-shirt. I think the t-shirts ended up costing us just around $2 to make. And we would sell them for about $20, including the shipping. So we'd make maybe between 15 after the bubble mailer and everything that you'd ship. I don't think I'd ship those in bubble mailers. I think I would just ship those in a manila envelope, but that's beside the point. So focus on sometimes trendy things. I wouldn't suggest now taking an image of another athlete and putting it on a t-shirt and then selling that on eBay. That's probably not a good idea. And you do want to be careful about putting sayings and stuff like that, even something like Linsanity or something on a t-shirt and trying to sell that, because as we've seen, people try to trademark those things. And sometimes those things are trademarked already. Something like, I remember a few years ago, that Larry the Cable Guy, I think that's the guy that says like get her done. Maybe that's a different comedian, but you get the picture. Get her done. You can't put that on a t-shirt and try to sell it. That guy has that copyrighted. So those are the kind of things you want to think about before you get involved in those kind of things. But sometimes maybe with sports, I see those like around Christmas time, You often see, and you can see them all over the place, but often around Christmas time, I see those places set up with just an 8x10 photo in a on a plaque with like Kobe's name and maybe some stats or something. That's a decent value add that you can mark up, because those plaques and what those guys are putting in, those don't cost nothing. Those are nothing. And even getting the little things printed up and stuff, if you're doing it in quantity, that's nothing. And you could probably make a little markup there. You want to be careful about team names and logos and stuff like that. But for the most part, you're okay there. But maybe adding value, that's the thing you can think of as a young business, is adding value to something, or just really low dollar stuff, the $1 cards, the $2 cards, just the really cheap stuff. Sometimes that's a good way to start out with, because people are comfortable with, oh, this seller's new, or this seller only has 100 feedback or 50 feedback, but it's only $1 or $2 and it's a reasonable price and maybe they need it anyways. I think that's the way to start up with. So to answer the question in like 10 minutes, his question was, what are some of the best selling methods? Start by keeping track of all your expenses, from the tape and everything, your computer, your internet, everything that you have to have to make your business go. You want to keep track of those costs, keep track of that, and see how it goes. Give it 3 months, give it, at least 100 sales, 150, 200 sales, hopefully more than that. You want to give it a good amount of sales and a good amount of time, whatever comes first. So track that, and also keep in mind that low dollar stuff, when you're a new seller, a young seller, inexperienced seller, start with the low dollar. You don't want to mess up on the $500 order, but if you mess up on a dollar order, you can refund the guy his money. But if you're ordering boxes and then it doesn't get there, or a big order doesn't work out or something, and you got to refund that, then that's going to be a cost you can't absorb usually as a young business. So those are the things you want to keep in mind. And, now our next, so hopefully that helps you out, if you're getting it, and this is for any business, doesn't necessarily be cards or anything like that. This is for any entrepreneur, anybody that wants to start their own business. I think those are some solid business ideas. There's tons of stuff out there though. You can go on the internet or even YouTube and watch videos. You can read books and do anything and ask other people that have set up businesses or have businesses now. You can ask them all. So I encourage you to do that. Our next question is, I remember this came in via email. Someone asked me, who was I buying? What are some of the players that I buy? Some of the players that I'm looking to collect. And I think I mentioned him already on the show a while back, was Gordon Hayward, or maybe that was, I can't remember now, because I'm actually, I've done so many podcasts that have gotten wrecked, that I've ruined, that have messed up for some reason. I couldn't get them uploaded, or I messed up the audio. That was what I normally do. I can't remember if I've actually said it on the show, but Gordon Hayward is one player I am definitely looking to buy at least one of his cards before the start of the season, because I think he's a very solid player for the Utah Jazz. And I didn't see the Utah Jazz usually don't make a whole lot of noise in the trade market or even the free agency market. It's just that kind of market that they got to home grow their players. And I really think he's the kind of player that the fans there really like. And he's a good player. I think he's a really solid player. He's not as soft as I think people think he plays. But he's a good player. He's a good shooter. He's good in the Utah system. I think if he was on any other team, I wouldn't be high on him. But because Utah makes the other players pass the ball, that's why I think he's good. Because Gordon Hayward, runs off screens well and, cuts. But you got to have somebody pass you the ball. If it's like the Lakers and you got Kobe's not going to hit somebody coming off a screen. So I think he succeeds in Utah, but it's only a short-term buy. I'm not buying Hayward unless his whole career is there. Another guy I might pick up now more, and if you've listened to the show over the past 2 years, but definitely over the last 4 years, I kind of get stuck on players for a while, and then And then they kind of leave me for a while because maybe because of fantasy, because I find somebody else. But Ryan Anderson got traded from Orlando to New Orleans, I believe. And New Orleans didn't give up much for him. A lot of people that are outside of basketball might look at the trade and be like, wow, Ryan Anderson must not be that good because New Orleans didn't have to give up that much. But I think it was a situation there where Orlando wasn't going to get anything. So they might as well, the guy that they got, his name slips my mind, but I actually remember him. I remember almost picking him up in fantasy. Solid player. So Orlando did get something in return here. But Ryan Anderson is a heck of a player. So New Orleans definitely, for what they gave up, got a great score. And New Orleans needed a score. They at times last year when they had injuries, they had like Carl Landry leading them in scoring. So they needed a consistent score, someone that could score all four quarters. And Ryan Anderson, he can do that. At times I was worried when Dwight Howard got hurt this last year. Or yeah, I put get hurt in air quotes because you never know. We'll talk about more about Dwight Howard in a little bit, probably in our last segment. But I wanted to talk about Ryan Anderson. I think when Dwight got hurt, I was like, man, Ryan Anderson's game was kind of like dump it into Howard. They would like quadruple team him and they would just kick it out for a wide open three. And he hit an incredible percentage. But he played well when Howard was out. And even when like Turgaloo was hurt, and I think their point guard was hurt in Orlando. And Orlando had lots of injuries toward the end of the year. So, but Ryan Anderson continued to play well. So that led me to see, wow, this guy could be a pretty solid player. And New Orleans has some other solid players, but they don't have that like really main big time score. Obviously they drafted that guy. God, his name slips me too. He just got drafted too. What's his name? I can't remember his name. New Orleans has some solid players, but they don't have that consistent score. So that's why I'm buying Ryan Anderson. So to answer my question quickly, who am I buying? Gordon Hayward, Ryan Anderson in basketball. In football, I don't buy anybody but Bengals. Mohamed Sanu, I don't think I've mentioned him on the show other than maybe quickly after the NBA draft, but Anthony Davis, that's who I was trying to think of this last like minute, and I've been stumbling. Anthony Davis was pick number one from the New Orleans Hornets, and so I think he looks like a scorer because I saw a little bit of him, highlights of him playing in the USA kind of exhibition and stuff coming up before the Olympics, but I think they'll run some plays through him, but I think Ryan Anderson over an 82-game season, I think Ryan Anderson is going to be a pretty solid play next year. I wouldn't draft him too high in fantasy, but he would be right up there pretty high. Pretty high for a center if they still list him at center. But anyways, back to football. Mohamed Sanu, third round draft pick for the Bengals, I think is going to get some run here, for the Bengals in the slot, maybe even opposite of AJ Green, but really the Bengals don't have much after AJ Green. They have a lot of depth at receiver because they have Shipley, who's coming back from a knee injury, who might not be ready at the beginning of the season, but they have a lot of inexperienced guys, a lot of shorter receivers. I say short, but these guys are like in the NFL, so they're not, they're well built, obviously. But a lot of guys that go over the middle, they don't have that guy that stretches the field. Mohamed Sanu is not that guy either. He's not going to stretch the field down the seam. But this guy, I've been reading a lot about him and a lot of coaches. It's key what coaches say, especially about rookies. Sometimes they might be doing it to encourage him, but I also saw other veteran players noticing his game. So Mohamed Sanu, third round draft pick. I think his autograph is really bad. It's like a couple scribbles. So it might not be the cherry on top of your collection, but I think if you want to gamble on a young receiver whose cards aren't selling for a huge amount of money before the season starts, Mohamed Sanu might be pretty good because Andy Dalton, that's another guy I'm buying too because he gets the ball out of his hands. And if you haven't been able to watch his games, I think the Bengals are on that first Monday night game or first Sunday night game, whatever it is, either on NBC or I don't know if they're the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, but they're one of them. I think that's the Monday night game. But you'll be able to see the Bengals, hopefully, that first game against the Ravens. But hopefully they're good. Hopefully they impress you. Obviously, you can watch them a little bit in the preseason too. And they have that package. If you want to check it out, I think the NFL is offering that preseason package. If you have like a tablet or you can probably even stream it on your phone or on your computer as well. Or even if you have like a PlayStation, you might even be able to do it. But you can watch the preseason games, and I think they store them there so you can replay them. And there's like they speed up the game and stuff like that on the replays. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I saw that on like a promo email or something that I got from them. As for baseball, I'm not really buying anybody for baseball because I just there's so many players, it's ridiculous. I just think there's smarter people buying baseball right now. I don't feel like I'm one of those people that are researching the prospects enough. So I kind of stay out of baseball a little bit. And it's only because I think they're smarter collectors, they're smarter sellers. And if I'm not on the right side of that, then I don't feel like I'm getting a good deal. So I try to stay out of that. And was that our last question or does, yeah, that is our last question. Or this is our last question. And this one just came in recently. So I appreciate the emailer for pack searching. Wanted to know about that practice and about like what it's all about and what people, why people do it and stuff like that. And pack searching has been going on. I actually remember the early days when I remember the transition when products didn't have jersey cards and then they went to jersey cards. And I remember those days when it was like, wow, you can just open up the box and like you don't even have, and back in the day, you didn't even have to really, you didn't even have to search the packs. You could just look down and see the one pack that was lined up in the box that was much thicker. And that was before they had dupe cards or like my girlfriend called them a faker cards. So that was before they had faker cards. And you could just see it right there. And eventually the companies have become more progressive with it, and they have the one pack products. So whenever they do like super premium products like National Treasures and stuff like that, it's always in a larger box. And so that kind of counteracts, especially when you're spending that much money, you don't want it to be searched. So, not that that doesn't go on either. I mean, anytime, like I watch those pawn shop shows and they're like, the guy's like, they've been faking stuff for hundreds of years. So there's always people looking to get an edge and there's always people looking to like game the system or like kind of cheat the system. And that's just the way it is. And pack searching is kind of one of those things. No matter what the companies do, no matter how hard they make, even if it's like every pack's just about the same, there'll always be those people out there being like, man, I wonder how I can just open that one pack that's hot, you know? And I've said it, I think, on the last show or a show here, you know, for pack searching. Don't go to Target and ever expect to get a jersey cards because that's where a lot of the pack searching goes on. People in towns like mine, there's like two Targets, there's two Walmarts, there's, you know, a number of, there's two Toys R Us's, I think. So like you can drive around town and really quickly open up, you know, like I said, I've been to the Target where people have gotten dropped off by their mom and they've gone over and like felt the packs up. They know like exactly what day that stuff comes out. So don't go to Target and expect to get a jersey card, but I've gotten nice autographs. I've pulled at a sale packs. I pulled like an Evan Longoria on card autograph out of Allen and Ginter. It was like $1.79 sale pack. It was a framed autograph, so incredible hit. So you can get good cards. I've seen somebody pull on card John Elway autograph that was like numbered to like three out of football, out of a retail pack before. And obviously the blaster boxes, if they have like the one hit per blaster box, I would say that would be your way to go. The loose packs that are sitting there, if you're trying to hit that one jersey card that they usually deliver one in the 24 packs that are sitting there, don't do that. And the rack packs are usually felt up too, so don't trade that. And when I say felt up, these guys just literally pack searching, there's no big secret about it. You can just, you know, you can just imagine all the cards stacked up in a pack feel a certain way. And then when there's a jersey card in there, that's usually the width of several cards, sometimes four, five, seven, eight, nine, 10 of them stacked up. It obviously feels a little bit different. And some companies do a little bit better job than others, kind of hiding that and just, you know, kind of disguising that. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is there's those hot packs on eBay. And really that's where a lot of people turn. And if people would stop buying them on eBay and stop paying a premium for them, then the process would go away a little bit more. Although, and the thing you want to be careful about, and I've said this on the show before, but you got to be careful about buying those hot packs on eBay, because what if it's not a hot pack? There's obviously ways that I've opened up packs that have like four extra cards in them. And it's like, wow, I've like picked up the pack and I've been like, wow, this pack is thick. And then you open it up and it's just four extra base cards, or the dupe cards, like really thick, and they did a really good job. So, people can be fooled. So you just want to be careful about that, and you just want to make sure you have all your bases covered. I wouldn't bid on those hot packs. I just don't think it's worth it. You might as well just buy the card you're looking for, the card you're after, because it's just one of those things. You just want to be careful. Also, going to card shops and stuff like that, if you go to a card shop and you just don't see stuff getting hit, or you see a lot of nice cards in the case, but then when you open up, but all the packs are just kind of loose out there and you don't ever see anybody hitting anything out of a pack, then you want to be wary of that too, because if you own your own card shop, it's very easy. I own my own card shop. I've seen packs just sitting up there that it's like, oh, there's a, you know, you see so much of it open when you own a store and you see so much of it open, you don't even need to feel it. You can just kind of like, look, it's like a feeling, you know, it's like those poker players that are like, oh, I knew he was bluffing. And you like look at him on TV and you're like, hey, he didn't know he was bluffing. I mean, this guy's just kind of blowing smoke up my, you know what, but there is a little bit of a sense to that. And I think, the people that are really, I wouldn't say good at it, but the people that pack search a lot probably do get pretty experienced about it and probably don't know, don't have to really even make much of an effort. So you just want to be careful. Buying packs at any public place, especially Target, where the packs are just right there laid out in front of you, and any card store that looks like it's not doing so well and that looks bare, just doesn't look that great, you want to be wary about that as well, but not to be negative. I mean, there are lots of good places to buy cards, and for a card store, it's really the death. You don't want to, like, you want people to pull good stuff. Like, that was like our best advertisement. I remember when we had a store, our best advertisement, I would like always pray, especially like the people that spent like decent money and kind of felt like, oh man, this guy's like, he doesn't want to buy this pack, but he's like, because he doesn't want his wife to know he spent all this money on it. So you almost like hoped, man, I hope you really get something good out of that box you just bought, or those packs. It was the best form of advertisement. I remember selling, somebody hitting something good, and then the next day, oh, somebody, his buddy would come in and try to hit the same thing. Or he would ask me, hey, when can I hit something good? So as a card, there's another tip if you're starting a business and stuff like that. You don't want to, like, you want your customers to hit the big one, because that's like your best advertisement. They're going to come through all day long and hit the big one. Another thing you can do if you're a business and you're trying to grow, kind of like, whoop, going back up to our, we'll come back to pack searching here in a second. But if you want to grow your business, there's lots of freebies that you can get, sometimes from the companies themselves, but often you can maybe just do stickers if you want to do something really cheap. But you can also, through your distributor, there's often, sometimes they have like junk wax or like dollar packs, or even packs that are less than, you know, they come out to be less than 20, 30 cents. If you have a little bit of extra capital, sometimes throwing in something free, or actually one of the best things I thought of was, I didn't think of this, but one of the best uses for extra cards laying around, because even as I sit here right now, I have like, you know, I got a Magic Johnson base card over here. I got like a Pablo Sandoval card here. I got a pack of like 2009. I found a 2009 like Heritage pack at Target, and I opened that up. I got like a couple, I got Johan Santana, in there, and I've got a couple other cards in there. So, chances are they're just going to sit around on my desk or whatever for the most part, but that's a really good freebie. If you're selling stuff and a guy buys your New York Mets you know, base card or whatever, just throw another one, throw an extra one in there. And that gets them to come back, gets them to maybe say, when they see you again, hey, I got a free, you don't have to throw something in free every time. Just, I think that's very helpful, especially right in the beginning. It gets people to be like, oh, wow, I got something for free. And if they post on forums, sometimes that word kind of spreads a little bit. And again, not that you have to be committed to giving out something for free all the time. But in the beginning, trying to grow, that's often a good tactic to get people to feel really good about. You know, they felt good about getting their purchase, but getting a little, even if it's just a one base card, you know, one little extra base card, even if it's a nobody, if it's from the same team they bought or from the same set that they bought, they might think that's pretty cool. So, back to pack searching. Just be careful as a buyer. And if you're thinking about like going into this, I just gave you a whole thing about how to make, like set up a good business right there. And none of it encourage doing something that's like shady or wrong. Because I've said this on the podcast before, good businesses have good business practices, because good business practices are sustainable. And sustainable means you're going to stay in business. Anybody that, you know, if you think about the kind of like the crooks and like kind of the criminals on the street, you know, sure, they might make some short-term money. Some of them drive around in like S500 Mercedes. Some of them might live in a decent house for a while, but none of them are straight balling their whole life. None of them have gotten to like Bill Gates status. None of them have gotten even close to being, enormously wealthy. So, or maybe in other countries, in Mexico, I've heard it's a little bit different story, but, and definitely in certain areas here in the United States, it happens. But for the most part, the grand majority of people that are crooks, their businesses are very short-lived. Their money-making opportunities are very short-lived. Usually the crime stoppers get on them, or people catch on and their business kind of dries up. So that's why you always want to run a real legitimate business. And that's why pack searching, I don't think it's sustainable. Sure, you might make a couple bucks here and there, but guys, I know nobody, I can say this with 100% certainty, I know nobody that makes a living or even can pay like their like college dorm room expenses by pack searching. You know, we're talking minuscule money. We're talking like maybe In-N-Out Burger once a week at most. We're talking that'd be like 25, 30 bucks a month you can make doing pack searching. And that's nothing. If you need to make $25 to $30 a month sounds of good to you, and like, email me sportscardshow@gmail.com. I got tons of, I got methods, but I'll send you to websites that have like videos, and like, it's all free too. The really good methods about how to make money. Like I don't want to say quickly and easily, but I would say quicker and easier than most ways I've seen in other business. And this is from somebody, I've taken business school classes and graduate and done a lot of studying on businesses. And I know some very good methods for almost actually zero. A lot of them are zero to little cost to start up these businesses. They take a lot of effort and take a lot of time and take a lot of savviness. They're 100% legal, 100% sustainable. There's people making a lot of money. And, if you need, but a lot of times they're $25, $30 a month. So send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Don't pack search. I'll hook you up with some tips and some business ideas, to make a little bit of pocket change if that's what you need. If you need to make hundreds of dollars, really in the end, you need to make hundreds of dollars an hour, because if you think about it, you have kids, and then as you get older, you got to take care of your parents and stuff like that, because they take care of you for a long period of time. So you got to return the favor. So that you got to start balling. You got to start making thousands of dollars a month. If you want to do that, it's called college. And so that's probably the best route for all of us. And all of us hopefully have at least considered that route. Though it's not for everybody. I know there's some successful dot-commers right now that didn't necessarily finish college. But sometimes if you're that smart, I guess maybe school might seem a little boring for you, but you've got to be an innovator, and you got to be able to get things done if you want to be like like Steve Jobs or like the kid that's running Facebook now. So, but anyways, there is a little bit of advice for you, and I know that I said we had a little buy sell hold segment, but I don't want to pull that up, and we've actually gone for 40 minutes, and like I said, I've screwed up this podcast like three times. So hopefully this is it, and hopefully I actually get this up there. But I did want to do a buy, sell, hold on a couple of football. I think I'm going to save the football because we've got plenty of time and before football season starts officially. But I did want to talk a little bit about Dwight Howard and kind of that situation. That's where you got to be really careful about certain players. Dwight Howard's a really good player, but look at what like his attitude has done. He's kind of turned into like that LeBron James. People aren't beating up on him quite as much because he's not quite like got that like bright sun of a spotlight on him like LeBron has. But people do kind of get on Dwight Howard a little bit. He's kind of seems like he should have never signed that extension in January whenever he signed it with Orlando. That was kind of the stupidest thing he ever did. But because he could have easily just signed with anybody he wanted to now he's kind of locked into kind of a sign and trade, so we'll see what ends up happening. I still think he probably ends up somewhere. Somebody ends up making a play for him, whether it's Houston or New Jersey ends up getting back in the mix. We'll see what Howard, maybe even Los Angeles. Oh, I've heard a lot of people say that's where he ends up in the end, but we'll see. He might even play some of the season out. But right now, Dwight Howard's a little low on the people's radar. I think if he switches teams here at some point, might be a good buy to buy him right now. If you're looking for that really quick flip, I mean, the minute Dwight signs with, especially right now where it's looking kind of like, man, it looks like he'll either go to Houston or stay in Orlando. But I really think there might be something that causes him to boom, jump to LA, boom, jump to a bigger market, a bigger like Dallas or New Jersey, even back to New Jersey, or somehow the Knicks pull something off, although I doubt it. But I think something will happen there, and I think there's a short term. I mean, to not steal like stock, like jargon, but I think there's a short term trade opportunity there. I think you could buy a Dwight Howard rookie. And there really isn't much of a bottom out because I think he'll run through this whole thing. Even if he stays in Orlando and is kind of middles through the year and kind of does what he does, I still think there's an opportunity for his cards to go up. And even if he's in Houston, I think he could end up being moved out of that situation shortly after that as well, after a season. I think it might be not a bad time to look if he can get his head on straight. And that's the thing with Dwight Howard is, this is why maybe you should go to college, because I think he came right out of the NBA. Seems a little, I don't know, a lot like a lot of other NBA players though, I guess. So we'll see what happens. Also, Kevin Love is kind of making the same kind of noise. I guess he was in the US hanging out with all the guys in the USA Olympic that had just came back from the playoffs, and they were talking about the playoffs and stuff, and Kevin Love felt a little left out. So we'll see what happens there. I think there's a lot of shaking up to go on in the NBA. I think we'll see more of it. But it's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens with Dwight. I think I wouldn't say that he's a strong buy right now, but I definitely wouldn't be selling his cards right now because I think there's that possibility that Dwight plays himself into either a better situation this coming season in Orlando, or that he gets himself out of Orlando right away and gets himself in LA or in New Jersey. Those owners or that ownership group and those teams finally make a deal that make it worth it. So we'll see what happens. And there's lots of other teams that might just be willing to take the risk. I think even if he stays in Orlando, Orlando's going to move him before the trade deadline for anything, even if Dwight doesn't want to go because he chances are he's probably not going to re-sign with that team. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of my loose, like, buy, sell, hold segment there. We'll have another one on the next show because I had some other football players that I wanted to talk about. But we've got time. But I wanted to shout Dwight out. I think he's like a minor buy right now because I just think his people are beating him down because he's kind of forced himself into the, you know, the situation that everybody would want to be in, making millions of dollars and trying to make it like the perfect. So he wants to be in the right city now, and he wants to be in the right winning opportunity. So he can't just make his money. He wants to all be perfect. So a lot of people look down on that, especially right now when people are having trouble making money and finding jobs. But I think we saw what happened with LeBron. When you win, everybody kind of is like, okay, you're all good. So we saw LeBron kind of, the heat got taken off him. And I think now it's on Dwight a little bit. And I think we'll see how he handles it. So we'll see. It's a little bit of a risky buy there. But I think there's some quick upside, especially if I've heard from lots of little rumors that the Lakers are still in it. The Lakers still would be willing to take him on because they know that Dwight, chances are he would re-sign with the Lakers at some point during the season. The Lakers would figure out a way. Jerry Buss always has a way getting athletes to have a good time in L.A. So I don't think it would be a problem to have Dwight stick around. So we'll see what happens. That about wraps it up for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. I certainly have enjoyed it. This, like I said, you don't record three podcasts to only end up putting out one if you don't actually enjoy it. So I have had fun here today. We'll definitely come back sooner now that I bought a new microphone. This was only, I guess I got to recommend this because I thought that I've tested it out, obviously, before I did a full walkthrough here because that would have been a whole mess if it didn't work. I bought it at Best Buy. I don't always buy things at Best Buy because they're sometimes expensive, but I didn't feel like buying one online or whatever. But this is called the Go Mic by Samson, Samson. And it's actually really small. It's a little smaller than I thought it was. But it's like portable, I guess. And I don't think, maybe it has a battery. I don't know. But you can, portable USB mic, but if it has to run off USB, I don't know how portable that is. It's a good microphone for somebody that, like me, that just wants to record a podcast. I thought it's pretty good. It says portable microphone. I don't know if it has a battery. It might. If it doesn't, I don't think it's for somebody that is looking for that true portable. But I thought the sound quality was really good. And I thought the manufacturing of it was really good too. I swear they didn't send this to me and I'm not doing a plug. I actually went out and bought this. It was like $40, $45 after tax, but thought it was a nice package. And SamsonTech.com looks like their website. So pretty cool. So yeah, I got a new microphone. So expect more than like once a month. I want to do these at least twice a month. So now that I've got my microphone situation and now that I've learned how to not screw up again on these audio files after learning for the last 4 years, I'm sure I'll keep making mistakes, but we'll get it all tightened up. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hopefully you're all doing well out there. We are out of here.